Hello and welcome to week 6 of the Survivor Know It Oz, talking about Survivor New Zealand. My name is Nick Idanza. I am your Survivor Know It Oz, and I am here with a very, very, very special guest. He is the first person to make it into the recording studio, which is my wife's walk-in closet, and he's a good friend of mine. He is my Survivor Season 1 castaway cast mate. It is Matt Tarrant.
Thanks for having me, Nick. This is absolutely amazing studio. First of all, I just want to mention that you've got a really comfortable looking chair with cushions. I am on probably the least comfy chair I've ever been on in my entire life.
Well, look, when you ascend to the lofty heights of being the Survivor Know It Oz, then you can get a good chair. Until then, you can sit on that little wooden stool while I recline.
Sharing a microphone with you as well.
Yeah. Matt, this is how we do it here, okay? This is how we do it. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming. It's been a long time coming. Been wanting to chat to you on the podcast for a very long time, but you have been hidden away. Where have you been, Matt? Tell everyone where you've been.
It's really exciting. I've been overseas. So I went to China and Japan for a month or so. Went over for the footy, the Australian rules, to be a real bogan. Just spent some time over in China and Japan with my fiance. And now back home. So I've had to catch up on Survivor New Zealand the last 2 days. It's been a complete binge, which has been good. And it's draining. I've been survived out because I'm also rewatching Heroes versus Villains as well at the moment.
Oh,
and
wow.
So just a lot of Survivor, but it's good.
Loving You're it. ODing. I like it.
Yeah.
What made you do the Heroes Villains rewatch?
So Kira hasn't watched every season of Survivor yet, so we're sort of going back through a lot of them. And going through a few of my favorites, also a few of your favorites as well, and then a few random ones. So
cool.
Yeah, it's been good.
Right, well, anything that you learned on those, you feel free to chat with us here. So thanks so much for coming along and chatting Survivor New Zealand. Just overall, what are your thoughts? It's the first time on RHAB. This is your first time, talking about New Zealand. What are your thoughts? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I think the first two episodes, I sort of struggled a little bit watching just because of probably the accents and the fact that it was a little bit cheaper. But to be honest, coming back and then watching it again now, I feel like it's getting a lot better. And I think
so much better.
Like, I think anyone that I will talk to and, they try and they stopped watching after the second episode, I'll probably tell them to give it another go because I think it does definitely get a lot better. And I think this most recent episode and the episode before were probably my two favorites so far.
Hands down.
Yeah. So it's, I'm enjoying it. The characters are good. I was expecting a lot of mateship and coming back to it now, watching these most recent episodes, I'm sort of seeing they're starting to play the game a bit harder, less mateship than what I probably thought. And the little kind of the cheapness of something sometimes I'm actually kind of enjoying, whereas before it was God, that sucks. Like, I'm just kind of getting a bit of a giggle out of it, but realizing that, they're doing a pretty good job, I think, for the limited budget that they had.
This week has been by far the best strategy. It's been the best, the most interesting. The dynamics are good. That always happens, I guess, in Emerge. But, I think it's definitely paying off. And, yes, it's still a lot to show to get through, but I'm enjoying it. I don't feel like it's dragging.
Mm.
And I'm really invested in these people as well, which I think is cool. The top story, I guess, we lost Lee, but the main story is Sala. Sala getting voted out, the biggest blindside. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Look, I don't – Sala's one of these guys where I knew from the very beginning I wasn't really sure how I was going to like him as a character, and I probably didn't love him, I'll be honest. So I was kind of in a way glad to see him go, but it was a big blindside for him. I don't think he had a clue that was coming.
Why didn't you warm to Sala? Because I certainly didn't, and the show wants me to.
Yep.
What was it about him that didn't, that you weren't that keen on?
Well, I think similar to what the producers think the Australians love is that he was all about kind of friendship, buddying, religion, all this sort of stuff. He was just this all round nice guy, which is great. And I'm sure in the real world, he might be a pretty good dude to have a beer with, but he's not the sort of character I want to watch play Survivor.
Yeah. I think he would be great in the Australian version of Big Brother, which it isn't strategy. It's literally just people watching, living in a house, and it's like a popularity contest. But, we want to see people kind of making moves. I don't know. I don't need to know that you've got this, you know, it's not about the money, it's about my message. Mm. That doesn't, I don't know. And then, like, the show is trying so hard to, sorry, you've got to see the way that Matt's sitting on this chair. He's like,
it's terrible.
He is like a contortionist. Would you like my chair?
No, it's fine.
No,
it's
well,
fine.
You ain't getting it. You ain't getting it anymore. Yeah, like the show wants us to like Silas so bad. There are these like swelling violins and this like long, like mournful voice in the background singing, you know, and there's shots of birds taking off into the sky. Like they're laying it on a little bit thick.
Makes me sick, to be honest. I mean, it's the same. We got that in our season as well. You know, everyone, they wanted us to love Lee. And I probably liked Lee more in the game than I did watching him back. Like, just because the editing that they put on these guys to make them this full-on hero, and they just put it on completely.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't need to see or hear it, to be honest. And it did make me fall for him. I'm sure, though, the person, you know, the crew out there that haven't watched Survivor before, the general public, he'd be, like, one of their favorites. No doubt about it. But as a fan, no.
Well, no, I like that. I definitely agree with you. It's definitely not the person I want to watch. No. But there was someone this week who has emerged, Matt. They said the sleeping giant has awoken. And I don't know how I'd feel about being called the sleeping giant. But we did get lots of shots of her sleeping, and that is old mate Barbs. Barbs, what are we thinking?
Where's she come from?
Yeah,
you know, all of a sudden she's playing this strategic game and it has literally just clicked on. But, I mean, somehow that's how you have to play Survivor. You know, I know when I went out there, my idea was to kind of really play it low and just play this real nice, friendly game for the first bit and then bang the strategy on. I mean, that's not how I was able to play it eventually, but for her, she's bound to do it, you know. And I think she's playing pretty well. I think maybe she's playing in her mind a little bit, maybe even better than what she actually is herself, but... she's talking her own game up, which I like. She's confident.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's taking a little bit of control, which is cool.
I like Barb. I'm really interested to see where this goes. Like, I was a bit down on them earlier. That I feel like, if anything, Barb's and Nate were, like, the villains a little bit. Like, they were definitely getting the saltiness against the, you know, the younger people. I don't feel like they've traditionally been cast in that, you know, older, more heroic thing that the show likes to do. I'm really enjoying it, and I love that she was excited to make the move.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't grappling with her conscience about it. She was just like, and it's tough out there because you grapple with everything, but she just seemed like, I really liked her line. She said, I don't want to cruise to the end. I want to shake up the tree and let's drop some acorns. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Some acorns, some shakehorns.
Yeah, and that it's really tough to do. I mean, I struggled with that a lot out there, and she's been able to do it, so... absolute props to her, you know?
She's taken the tea bags off her eyes. Have you ever put tea bags on your eyes to fall asleep?
I actually think that's a thing, though, isn't
it? Is it?
Like, I'm pretty sure I've heard it's tea bags for, like, isn't it even, like, headaches or something as well, maybe? But, yeah, I've never done it. But it's maybe one of these old wives' tales, maybe.
A new way to think about tea bagging. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Very interesting. What do you think about, you know, we've got Jack who's saying, I take back everything I said about her being in a rest home. You know, this whole thing, he was calling her the retirement village people. He calls her the sly old dog, the old Labrador. She's now a peppy fox terrier. A lot of comparisons for Barb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack's, he's annoying, isn't he? I find him really annoying.
Okay. So what is it? Okay. Cause this is something that I want to break down with you. What is it that makes Jack annoying to you?
Look, I think he's very much the class clown, I think, out there. And at times I feel like he's maybe putting it on a little bit for the cameras, which in saying that, we all do out there. Like, we all try to form and create this character, and I think that's what he's very much trying to do. And at times it just seems a little bit too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think I'd actually quite like him. Like, and I think if he was just playing as himself out there, I actually think I'd, like, you know, almost have some sort of connection to his character as my own self. But I think he's maybe putting it on a little bit too much, which maybe at times I did as well. Like there was actually a moment which I sort of connected with me a little bit the other day where I saw he was having this really sad down moment. And then like instantly, like he's all like the next day, he's all fine and well again. Like, and that reminded me quite a lot, like, how I was out there as well. Like, there were definitely days where I was, like, this real depressed mess. and then like really putting it on for everyone in the cameras, but also like myself as well, I think. And the next day I'm like singing along, having a great time and all jolly. And like, it just, yeah, reminded me a bit of that. Like,
well, that's, it's funny you say that, because I have been comparing him to you a little bit throughout the season in that he's the class clown. Like, he likes to make a joke, and there are plenty of people out there on our season that did that, but you definitely liked to kind of, you know, say the jokes, and you had this annoying voice that you used to do. Yeah. And it was funny. I enjoyed it because you know, you're like one of my mates from back home that I was able to relate to, but it did get under people's skin a little bit.
Oh, out there, anything like that puts like...
Totally. And the question did come up sometimes out there about whether you were putting it on sometimes. And, and you know, it's hard because I think that people out there are just who they are. Like, you are who you are, and you're a joker, and you like to like muck around and stuff. And anything gets on people's nerves.
Oh, totally.
So, like, Jack is annoying when you get, like, all of those kind of, like, his, like, highlight, his gag reel. But, like, I actually think he would be, like, super fun to hang out with and stuff. So,
yeah, I think so too. I think that's kind of, I mean, that, again, is something that you're only seeing such a small amount of, like, as you said, the highlights or the lowlights of someone. So you're going to get annoyed of someone. Like, and it's probably the same with what you guys had out there with me. Like, I had a lot of highs and a lot of lowlights.
Let me give you a little inside story about the time where Matt's humor really kind of like rubbed people up. We had just won the Hungry Jack's reward, and we were all starving. And then all of a sudden, Matt ingests like 4 liters worth of Coke and a couple of burgers. And I don't know whether it was the sugar or something, but all of a sudden, Matt started doing this voice, and we called it The Voice. Would you like to do it?
I don't think I can.
I think you should.
I don't remember.
I think you should.
I can't remember what it was. It was like, I think it was like, and next time on, no, it wasn't even
yes,
that.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was like,
Hi guys.
Next time on Survivor. It was that, wasn't it?
It was exactly that.
Yeah.
It was exactly that. And it was hilarious. Like, I loved it because it reminded me of like this old timey like news recorder voice from like, you know, South Park or something. And it slayed me. And then after a couple of days, like, I was still enjoying it, but man, people would be like, whew, that voice really, wow, that voice really doesn't end. And then we all were joking about, even with Matt, that like, he was saying that like, I couldn't turn it off.
It was my full-time voice.
It became your full-time voice. And then everyone else started doing it as well. This is just how loopy you go out there.
I could not turn this voice off. I remember I was having conversations with people and like quite serious conversations. And for some reason in my mind, I had to be like, oh, come on, buddy, you're fine. Like, and it was just, it was terrible. Like, and it was kind of, it reminded me of this like weird South Park, like voice, like Terrence and Phillips sort of style thing, but just a lot more annoying. And I couldn't turn it off.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's happening to him out there. He's having these Matt moments and he's just going kooky.
It was great. The voice was, I loved the voice. But the funny thing is, because that's kind of like what Jack's doing. He's running around in this loincloth. And if I was out there, I'd be thinking, come on, like, this is clearly just for the cameras.
Yeah.
Like, and that can irritate people because you want to lay low and like, one of the things I learned about being out there on Survivor is that, like, yes, you forget that the cameras are there, but you never forget that there are cameramen walking around. So, like, you forget that those cameras are going to transmit something to a TV screen, but you never forget that they're standing there. And when all of the cameras turn on you when you're doing something, it does get people's nose out of joint. And that was something that never really translates. And I think it's interesting for fans to hear about that, is that all of a sudden, if Matt's doing something and 4 cameras turn to Matt, everyone else is like, gets a little bit, well, what's happening? And then, and that happens whether you're having a fight, like the fight that JO and I had, we had like 6 cameras on us. I don't even think that there were 6 cameras on the beach that day. And, you know, and all of a sudden that isolates everyone else because then they feel like they're not part of the story anymore.
Yeah. And I think that's it, because like a lot of people out there, not everyone, but a lot of people out there also, like, they kind of love the idea that they're like the center of attention sometimes as well. And when they see other people up, you get a bit jealous. And
well,
like,
no one's going to volunteer to go on a national TV show and not want to be the center of attention in some regards. And people can, you know, say they weren't, and there are times when I was out there and I definitely did not want a camera in my face. But there are other times where you just don't mind, because if you're going to go on a reality TV show, you there's something about your personality that you think is interesting.
Yeah.
And stuff like that can bother people. So yeah. I don't know if Jack, if you had walked in with a loincloth, you know, around the campfire, I think I would have questioned that.
Yeah.
And as funny as it is, you just don't want to give people the opportunity to question your motives.
Yeah.
Like I remember, I had a spare pair of underwear that I hadn't worn, and they stayed in my little bag. You get to very little out there, and it was just for some reason I hadn't put on this underwear. Maybe because I stopped wearing underwear after a while, which I'm sure you all really cared to hear about.
It was terrible.
Yeah. I remember one day I was like, I'm going to put on my underwear. I think it was because I'd made it to day. It was like day. Like, I don't know. I think we'd made it to like my sister's birthday or something like that. It was like the 23rd of June. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try something different. I put them on and I walked into camp with them just as a joke. But as I did it, I realized that the cameras were filming me and everyone was watching me do it. And it looked like such a peacocking moment.
Yep.
And I remember thinking, oh, wow, this is really bad. And I just quickly turned and then walked back into the bush and changed my underwear. You know, it's just those little things which you can never translate on to the fans.
And sometimes it depends on who you're around as well. Like I remember at Sinapu with the burger award, we were all having these like burger-related quips that we would come out with.
Like
the burgers are better at Sinapu. And I think every single person there was hoping that whatever their joke was going to make TV. I'm sure of it.
Yeah,
like, because I was coming up with a real, like, really good ones in my head going, I need to say this and I need to make sure, like, I'm going to get a funny moment here. People are going to love my humor.
I think that's because you're involved with, like, you know, social media marketing and stuff like that. You know the power of, like, a little, like,
oh, yeah.
A little quip or a phrase or something.
Yeah, like totally. That. Totally.
No, interesting. And it's something that doesn't really translate. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. Matt, I want to talk to you about the twist. So the episode, and it was alluded to last week, the episode starts with this idea of, so we vote out Lee, and then all of a sudden we're going to our straight away to our next immunity challenge, and we're voting someone else out tonight. What did you think of that?
Like, I think I love and I hate it. I love the fact that, like, Survivor New Zealand, they're not scared of trying things and, like, just doing new things that I've never seen before. But then I hated the fact that they didn't have this, like, it just felt like the tribe were able to vote off the first two people they wanted to vote it off. Like, there was no additional strategy or reasoning behind why they were going to vote a second person off. It was going to be like a new person. It was always going to be one and then two, if that makes sense. Like, there was no chance for anyone to either put themselves in a better position or someone to put themselves in a worse position. So wherever you were at the start of that tribal, if you were that number two person, you were going to go, especially when they didn't give them even a chance to chat.
They weren't even going to let them talk.
Insane.
It was so weird. He said they were actually going to go to the vote and not, and whether they edited it out, but I don't think they did because they, as they
he said, let's go to vote. And then he said, can I say something?
Yeah. That is my, it's like almost like the show was like, oh, it is late. Can we just yada yada the next, you know?
Because that would have been late. It would have been late at night. Like, it would have been, we're probably talking like 11 o'clock probably by the time they even finish that challenge to get to the second tribal.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
they
part
just,
of it.
They
maybe
were
they're
over
just
it.
Snoozy.
So why do you think they did that? Was it because they were trying to avoid a pogonging? Or were they just were like, we need to beef up numbers for Redemption Island. We need two people out there. Or was it a bit of both?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a bit of both, possibly.
It just screwed any chance of scrambling. And if I was Mike, I would feel so ripped off.
Yeah.
He went in there with immunity.
Yeah.
Right? And you feel like that's going to get you to that, at least I've got another challenge in me. I've got another, you know, day. Oh, I didn't get to say this in my confessional. I didn't get, you know, like, it, and yes, there's Redemption Island, but wow.
Yeah, but if, I mean, the thing is, that if he had remembered how many times Matt had worn a green Survivor hat, he was fine, you know, which we all knew the number, you know, we were all counted that.
So the challenge was the questionnaire, and like, I've never enjoyed the questionnaire. I had a few people hit me up on Twitter saying that like they didn't think it was bad, but I thought it was really bad. The only time I've seen that questionnaire style thing work was in Survivor China when they you know, had the merge feast, I think it was, and they wheel out all these people and they're doing this kind of, you know, this dance and the parade, the fire spinners. And then afterwards they said, and that was a challenge. What do you remember from that moment? And I think that's a cool spin on it because it's like, who was paying attention? But like, just this arbitrary quiz, like, was it survivor knowledge? Was it game memory? Was it geography?
Yeah.
Was it fashion police? Like, what like what was it about?
I would have been so terrible at that challenge, by the way, because I don't think I knew anything about anyone on Sanavu. Like, I don't think I even knew what school you taught at until like until we were.
And we live in the same city. Like, that's a big dip.
That's weird. Like, I just didn't. Yeah, I would have been terrible. And but you're right. It was there was no like. Structure about what
it was just
was
like
about.
The first question was, what does fire represent in this game? And it's like, I'd be like, okay, so it's a survivor quiz.
Yes.
What do I need to know about survivor? What's the blah, blah, blah. And then the next one's like, you know, what is the highest mountain in Nicaragua?
I told you day one, like, yeah. But and then yeah, the hat one.
Oh, how many times have I worn a green survivor hat? And then the best bit was when they revealed the answer. He was like, guys, I've never worn a green hat.
I don't even own one.
Like, and he was like so offended that people didn't know. It was like it's like when your girlfriend walks in and you don't notice that she's got her hair done. And it's like, you didn't notice that I got my hair done? It's like, no one noticed you had a green hat, a blue hat. Like, it was complete lunacy.
The guesses were hilarious, bro. There was, I think, 11 and 2 and then 0.
Like, I loved it. I just hope that this is a trend in Survivor, like all Survivors. It's like the most random questions. Like, question 2, what type of bean did I eat for lunch at craft services before the challenge started? Like, yeah. Just these most obscure things.
I mean, the next time I see Jeff Props wearing like a red, like big sombrero or something in a challenge, I'm going to remember that just in case it comes up.
Guys, if you're going out there to play Survivor, Australia, New Zealand, US, whatever, take notes on what the host is wearing.
It's very important.
I love it. Like, now it starts this whole thing. Like, you go back to camp and like people are furiously scrawling notes like in the sand. Like, okay, so did he have on his flip flops or did he have his striped socks on today?
Get rid of it. I, you know what? I thought I liked it when I was watching it, but that last question got me.
Oh.
I think if you're going to do the Survivor quiz, there has to be some sort of structure to it. Like, make it about the contestants or the game or something, not just a couple of – like, it's not pub trivia.
I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was so ridiculous. This is why I love Survivor New Zealand. I have had so much fun podcasting, and I hope that everyone out there is having fun watching the show and then listening, because it's just – this has been – some of the choices are just – A-grade entertainment. Speaking about that tribal council, so I want to talk about when Lee was voted out. So Lee's voted out and, you know, not much to say about Lee. Great hair, good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Seems super nice. But, you know, that's all I've really got to say about Lee. You the same?
Yeah, we don't have anything else to say about him. He was just out there fishing a lot.
Yeah, he seemed like a really good guy.
Good fisherman.
And, you know, he got to the merch. Well done. But what do you think about when he stands up and he gets voted out and he said, please vote out Shannon next or something like that? No, I think it was Mike said that.
Yeah.
And they had said, you don't want to go see me at Redemption Island. So what are your thoughts on some sort of, like, you know, whether it's your game, anyone's game, what are your thoughts on people on their way out kind of like throwing something out there like that?
I don't hate it. Like, I mean, I don't.
Oh, it's good TV. It's definitely good TV.
I don't know,
in the game?
I don't know how much it would actually impact what these people would actually do, though, like what their next decision would be, because they've just voted off that person. Clearly, they don't actually really care about that person's opinion or what that person thinks. So, like, I don't know.
Well,
like,
okay, well, I'll give you an example from my own personal experience. So the night that I was voted out, the real time I was voted out, I knew that it was going to be me. I had the whole kind of, like, time to get to tribal council to kind of make peace with the fact that I'd sniffed out what was happening. Mm-hmm. I was going home. And in the moment where I figured it out, I was so mad. And I created this whole monologue in my head. And I was going to rip you apart and Brooke apart and Sue and Lee. I literally had I was going to stand up Jerry Seinfeld style and just kind of like do like this like 10-minute riff. And I just thought, Nick, that is so dumb. Like, first of all, that looks so bitter and twisted. And it didn't reflect the respect that I had for the game. So that was in that first moment. And I kind of wound that all the way back. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know, I planned on the things that I wanted to say and get out there for everyone. And, you know, one of them was saying, you know, talking about you and your game and talking about Sue and her game, all this stuff. But I did it in a way that I felt was much more measured. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I wanted to do was to stand up and tell Sam how much I did not want him to win, right? And I knew, and I wanted to say, like, Sam, you can get me out, but you will never win this game.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that you never win this game. Yeah. And I wanted to say that. But then I realized by telegraphing that, what am I doing? I am telling everyone else, wow, Nick's now on the jury. Sam's not going to win.
Yeah.
I'll take Sam all the way to the end. And I really didn't want that to happen. And so I even contemplated standing up,
good luck, Sam,
and shaking Sam's hand and saying, like, good luck, Sam. If you make it to the end, you've got my vote, as a way to reverse psychology people into voting Sam off.
Mm.
Because I think that people, all people want is that information of, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what are the jury thinking, what are the jury thinking. You've got to be pretty, you know, measured with what you throw out there. In the end, I decided to say nothing and just kind of said congratulations and, you know, geeked out at getting my Survivor torch snuffed. But, yeah, I really thought about, you know, what impact my final words could have. So,
yeah, I mean, you're right. Maybe, I mean, there are ways you can play it, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, for these guys as well, they have to remember there's a very good chance, well, these guys, these two especially, they might actually get a chance to get back out in that game as well.
Yes, exactly. And you can't, yeah.
So, yeah, what do you do? Person you're bad-mouthing might be a person that might actually be able to save you when you come back. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be what, maybe another 10 days before they get a chance to return. A lot happens in 10 days in Survivor. By the time they get back there, she might be someone critical for them to make a move. So why badmouth her? So yeah, I mean, it definitely, there are negatives about putting it out there as well, in their position. For us, it's this kind of, well, how's it going to look on TV is the biggest concern, I guess. And how you can play it to your advantage or to someone's disadvantage.
No, you're right. You're totally right. Having Redemption Island there does kind of complicate it even further. Because
which I thought they were going to get rid of Redemption Island at Merge. I thought it was done for. I'm really upset that it's not.
Yeah, I think they're using it as a way to beef out the two episodes a week. Yeah. And I've got to say, I've never been down on Redemption Island. I've actually, the only thing that I, to be honest, that I really dislike about Redemption Island is that they make them burn their buff. I just feel so sad for them that they don't get to keep their buff.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, that is the bit for me as well, where they just walk off into the distance. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But look, I've never been as down on Redemption Island as other people have. So, what do you think? So we transitioning back to the big vote out after that, we vote out Sala. We've got this whole thing where Shannon and Barb and Nate, well, not Nate because he votes for Shannon, which is a whole other thing, but they scoop up Tom and Jack on the bottom and they use it to break up this Arvi, Sala, Shay dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, how do you feel about that whole situation? Did you think it was a good move, bad move? What?
Well, I mean, I think at some point it had to be broken up, and I think at some point very soon Sala had to go. You know, I feel like he's kind of like, everyone loves him out there, I think, and he's got all these real dramatic sob stories about how he's poor and he wants money and he's got all these kids and all this sort of stuff. I think if he got too much further, there is a good chance that he could actually do quite well in this season and become almost a bit of a more likable version of Lee, maybe, in a way. And Arvi's playing a really good game as well. So you need to kind of cut off one of his legs as well, maybe. And having that Sala number there as well, I guess.
So do you think it was the right move for Shannon? She's someone who kind of flipped on the previous alliance, on her people like Mike and Lee, these people who will populate the jury. And now she's flipped again. Do you think that was a good move?
For her at her end game?
Well, just in general, like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think in general, I think she's playing a strategic game, which I don't know as a jury if they'll necessarily love. But there's a lot of time between now and when she'll actually get to a final three to actually have her opinions changed as well, maybe.
Yeah, well, she said, she goes, it doesn't make me a hero or a villain. I don't care about all that. I just did what I had to do.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, yeah. Because the people out there that are worried about their perception and how people are going to perceive them back home, that's a really, like, that can that can really just like neuter your game. But the problem is that I think maybe she is not thinking about the perception of the people in the game.
Yeah.
And she kind of like was luxuriating in playing double agent maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But she's getting a really strong edit. Like if you're looking at the edit, you got to say that she's up there with one of the winners. We got like a like 10-minute segment of her trying to open a coconut.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Like first – that was weird. But first of all, it was weird that she took her 20 days plus days to open a coconut. But
it reminded me of Christy. You weren't there, but Christy, I think it was day 47 or 48. She said to me, Maddie, can you teach me how to start a fire? And she literally spent like the next 3 days learning how to make fire.
Yeah.
And, like, it reminded me very much of that. It was this weird kind of like, first of all, why the hell haven't you learned that beforehand? Like, what the hell have you been doing around camp? And second of all, like, I don't know if they showed Christy doing it as much on the show, but it was just really strange to get, like, as you said.
They showed that chunk of her, like, sneaking off at night to learn how to, like, make the fire. Yeah. Yeah. But look, I think the winner edit is strong in Shannon. I love the way she talks about the game. And I was thinking, like, you know, maybe this is a bad move. All these people are really mad at her. And one of the things that I've spoken about on this podcast before and in, you know, about my game is that I didn't read the temperature of the people of the game I was playing with. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that they wouldn't want to play this kind of like American style of game. And I wonder if maybe she's falling into the same trap. She seems more successful than me, mm-hmm. obviously, but I think that she is, I don't know. I can't see Lee and Mike at the end being like, you know, you played in the spirit of the game. Good on you. You tricked us. I hope that they do if she makes it to the end, but I just don't know. It's clear that she's the biggest fan.
Mm.
Like, it's clear that she knows what Survivor is all about and she wants to play. And in that way, I sympathize with her because I see much of myself in the way that she wants to play the game. She's just being much more successful at it in the short term.
I think as a jury, though, all you need is for like one or two people that truly understand and love the game to be able to get the rest of the jury on side to their strategy as well. So as long as you have one or two people on there that understand and love the game, like yourself as an example, like if Flick was there at a final two, there is a good chance, like if she's up against like Christy or Lee or whatever, there's a good chance that we would be gunning to make sure Flick won because she at least made some really strong moves.
Oh, I 100% would have voted for Flick.
Likewise. And yeah. I would have done everything I possibly could to make sure Brooke was on board, Sam was on board. And I think that's all you need sometimes.
Yeah. The only thing is, hold on. I don't want people to think that we were like swaying people at the jury because that's one of the biggest issues I've had is that people think that I was swaying people to not vote for Lee. Let the record say, I went in wanting to vote for Lee.
Yeah, Lee, so, I wanted Christy. I think I was the one that was trying to swing people.
I certainly was not. So can we just get that out there? Because I hate that misconception. It's so wrong. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was that time you told me to vote.
No, he's lying. Like, he's lying. Don't listen to him.
But no, I think, like, you don't want the jury to sway each other. But there are definitely times when even sitting there at the tribal council, even it's like your facial expression or your reaction to something someone says that are still in the game can change people's opinions.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, like, you have to be careful with how you treat the jury and how you play them. But as long as you're not doing it to every single person, and then you have at least a couple of people on your side,
yeah,
they can help to sway the rest of the jury.
Well, I think it was actually the right move, though, because clearly Avi has no intention of going to the end with her because there was a scene where, like, he was whispering her name to Sala and Shay that, like, she would be one of the eventual people to go. So, you know, whether that was just smoke and mirrors, like, her name's being thrown out there by the people that's supposedly in her alliance. So good on you, Shannon. And I have a feeling that Avi's going to kind of, like, you know, I trusted you, all that. It's like, well, you threw her name out there. Yeah. You just probably don't remember it, you know, like, so – you know, but the big thing is the fallout. What is the fallout going to be? The previews hinted that there will be fallout. What do you think is on store for the Avi and Tom relationship? Because Avi saved Tom so many times, and now in this one, Tom was happy to kind of feed him a line that, like, Jack was going home.
Well, they've been sort of building up to it happening as well for a couple of episodes, I thought, as well. They've had a couple of conversations with the two of them sort of chatting about, you know, oh, do I really trust him? Can I continue to trust him? And then all of a sudden, you can't anymore, actually. Yeah. So I feel like that there's definitely going to be a really big breaking point there. And there's probably, I think Ivy's going to be pretty seriously angry. But I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. I think a lot of these guys out there now know that it's getting really close to the end and they have to start playing hard. And I think we're going to start to see some really great discussions, some really great strategy, and hopefully some more big moves.
Hopefully. Good on Barb. Good on Barb for, like,
yeah.
I actually do think it's good for her game. Like, and it's not just because I like seeing the game get mixed up. I think that she's, you know, because in the end, she's able to bring back together her old tribe. And in some ways, I think it could really pay off.
Well, people have said she's been sitting about doing nothing. And she's now gone, well, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to do something and put something on my little Survivor regimen.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like the popular IHAP theory that, you know, when you play Big Brother, that you, like, I've heard people say and heard Rob say before that, you know, you fall asleep for the first, you know, however many days of the game. Barb's actually done that. Like, she legitimately fell asleep for the first and fainted at one point as well. So, like, you know, sleep on her own accord and sleep, you know, induced by, you know, the elements. So good on you, Barb. I'm impressed. I really am impressed. And I'm not just saying that being facetiously facetious. I actually do think she was good.
Her body and her mind are playing it well.
Yeah. Let's just quick fire talk about some of these challenges. What do you think of the Redemption Island challenge, the jewel challenge with the balance beam and that puzzle at the end?
I found it interesting they were collecting, like, Woolworths bags of puzzle pieces. sorry, was it puzzle pieces?
No, those calico bags of puzzle pieces.
Yeah, it was really strange.
And for all the, you know, Survivor historians out there, that's the Jay Byers challenge, puzzle challenge from, you know, One World. That is the last puzzle that I studied before I left for Survivor. I was convinced that puzzle was going to be out there. And it was like, just before I left, I was running through all the popular puzzles in my head of, like, which are the ones that, like, you know, which are the ones that might be out there. I was like, oh, what about the Jay one? And I went there and I figured it out, the way to do it in my head, and I never got to do it. So
it's like me studying that other puzzle. You would have seen me do it on the island, I think. There's like three piles and you have to move one.
Oh, and move it to the top. Yeah.
I just had this feeling the whole game that was going to come out there, and I would practice that puzzle like almost every single day with little sticks that I've snapped, and it never happened. So what a waste of time. That challenge was, it was all right.
It's cool having the two biggest physical threats at Redemption Island. That was cool.
I think I would have preferred if it was, like, they were even talking a nice physical challenge, though.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
What do you think about that immunity challenge, in the most recent episode, where the spitting the water and then the people got stuck?
I would have been terrible. Any of those dig under of thing challenges, my gut would have just constantly got in the way, I think.
I liked the challenge, but, like, that is really bad design if half of the tribe, like, and I guess, you know, I guess that it all evens out in the wash, because there are physical challenges that the skinnier people can't do, and there are, you know, endurance challenges that, whatever. But, wow, that's really poor. Really poorly thought to do it on such hard sand, at least, that it's going to be hard to dig.
I think you go out there, if you're a bit bigger, like, you understand that not every challenge is going to be for you. Like, you're not going to be able to succeed at every single challenge they throw at you. And sometimes there are going to be challenges you actually just cannot do.
But, like, do you feel like that's why Nate and Jack stopped? Not because, like, it was hard, but because they were just a bit demoralized that, like, that they were too big for the challenge, because that's kind of sad. Like, that's like
fat Survivor fat shaming.
Yeah, it was. It was like, it was really not, I didn't like it. I felt really bad for them. And I thought that, like, the challenge design there, that if, do you know what, if it was that it was on softer sand that went all the way up to the beam and everyone had to dig a hole for their body, fine. But it wasn't that.
Yep.
It was some people had to dig and some people didn't. And I just thought that was really, really an unfortunate choice, and I would have felt pretty demoralized too. So,
yeah, I mean, I think one or two changes of that challenge makes it really great, but you're right. I think having it where, some people were actually given a real easy advantage to it, it doesn't make
it. Just a bit icky. I didn't like that one. What about, and I want to really get your opinion on this, because this is a challenge that you participated in. I didn't even see it happen because it was performed at Tribal Council, but not when we were there. This is that burn book challenge. It's a classic. This is a Survivor classic, and it always comes around that time when we're trying to show, you know, dynamics and trying to flip the script. I feel like in Australian Survivor it happened quite late. But in this one here, it comes at a good time. And what's the strategy? What's the way that you kind of, do you have any interesting stories from that from that that challenge when you participated?
Yeah, well, for me, I mean, I knew that when we did ours, we were final six, I think it was. So it was myself, Lee, Sam, Elle, Flick, and Christy. And first of all, myself and Sam knew we were very much on the bottom. I'd already won a reward challenge that day, and the reward for the second challenge was to go along with me. But for some reason, I was still competing in it, like so to go on weird. And take it for myself. It was really strange. So first of all, they did not think that through at all. And originally, I think I was kind of like going, well, I need to use my gift of the gab to my advantage to make sure people don't just knock me out, because I had kind of a bit of a say in what they were going to do if I could swing them around. So I did. Like, I jokingly said about it, and I kind of got Flick to knock people out she didn't want to knock out. Like, Lee, she knocked out a couple of times. Like, I don't know why. She just did. Same with Christy. I think even Elle might have knocked out a couple of people just because of making jokes about it and having a bit of fun.
Did you get any were you the answer to any rough questions? Because I know that, and if anyone's ever wanted proof of like how Sam is not that easy to live with, he was the answer to a lot of the questions.
Everything.
Which I'm sure I would have been as well, but he was answered to a lot of them. So he took a lot of the heat. Did you get any that bothered you or made you proud? Or
There wasn't a lot that I got. I think the one that I got was that I was the most strategic person out there. I think I got that.
It's probably not a good one to get, though.
Yeah, it probably wasn't
it's good
a great
for your
one.
Ego, but yeah. Not great in the game.
It was great as a survivor. Like, I'm pretty sure I'd name myself for that as well, just knowing that there wasn't really anyone else out there apart from maybe Flick. But yeah, there was a couple of like cool things I got there. Nothing really too negative. I think at one point Lee said that like it was who would you not want to be sitting next at the end, and he wrote me. And then like we all kind of thought that like that question was related to who would you not want to be up against because they were going to destroy you. And when we had all written L maybe, and he was like, oh, I wrote who I didn't think deserved to win or like deserved the money or anything. And I just looked at him like, excuse me, like, what the hell, man? Like, I was like, if there was a point where I hated Lee, it was that moment right then. I just went, who is this bloody dickhead? And yeah, that like he didn't even have to say it.
No, he probably like, just could have left.
He could have not said that. Like, but he chose to say it. I hated him like at that point. And yeah, that was definitely a thing for me. But it was funny because I was able to use the fact that production, I think, made a mistake in having me involved in that challenge. And what I would do, I basically just kind of asked Jonathan, like, so what do I win? Like, and he looked at me like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I've already won this prize. And he's like, oh, well, I'll get back to you. And then he had to ask production, and I don't know what they said. And he said, oh, Matt, you're going to win an extra special prize. Like, and I said, you've got nothing. Like, I said to him, you've got no idea, do you? And he goes, no, I do. And I'm like, you've got nothing,
you're
Jonathan.
You're getting gold stuff.
Like, so I was like to the guys, let me win just because they have nothing. Like, how funny would it be to see them scramble because they know this is being filmed and they need to have something. And I think that actually helped me get quite far in that challenge. But I, you know what? I actually, as a contestant, really enjoyed that challenge. It reminded me a lot of like just playing games and stuff at home, which I do a lot with my family. So me and Flick had a real good laugh and we kind of had a bit of a giggle at that challenge, despite the fact that she just literally had voted off Brooke. It was a nice, cool moment where we sort of got along a little bit together.
I love that challenge. I wish we could see it more. I feel like it's kind of been broken, and that's been covered a lot on the podcast before, about you know, how that challenge is, you can maneuver your way through it, especially the fact that they gather the answers from the tribe. So I don't know. It's a shame. It's a shame that we don't see that one more often in US Survivor, but I loved that. It's always good to reveal the pecking order. That brings us to our favorite segment, a segment where I get lots of people sending in questions and comments, and that is the close but no cigaragua. And for those of the uninitiated, these are the things that we love seeing on the show and that were so commonplace to us, but just not quite right. Not quite right for Survivor New Zealand, Nicaragua. Close but no cigaragua. So we've had a few here. The first one was April sent in She said, why are the Chirons not matching the Merge tribe color? And if you don't know what Chirons are, those are the names at the bottom. And the names actually aren't matching color of the tribe. And it's such a little thing, but I did not notice. And do you know what?
I haven't noticed that.
Well done, April, because I had not noticed. And I think that is this is how closely the RHAP community watches Survivor. So well done. Gold star. We'll give you the gold star that Matt was going to win if he won the the pecking order challenge.
Congratulations, April.
Congratulations, April. You've got that.
Oh, that's going to get me every time I watch it now as well.
Yeah, they don't match. It's kind of weird.
Oh.
Yeah, I reckon that it might even itself out, but they definitely didn't this week. So, and last week either. Because that was sent in last week. All right. Lorenzo on Twitter said, that pineapple pizza, what a monstrosity. And Lorenzo, I agree.
Yeah.
Did you see? Look, it is well documented that Survivor pizza is like the worst pizza. You just had to watch Game Changers to see that like cardboard pita bread pizza that Sierra and that were eating. Or I think it was Sierra. No, well, she lost it. Jeff Varner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It is not great. Mm. And Pizza Hut would put their name all over that. What were they?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Pizza Hut isn't really considered the best pizza. It's not in Australia anyway, so I assume New Zealand's similar.
Well, Lisa Stranger, she wrote in the same thing. She said, what was Pizza Hut thinking? Their pizza isn't great, but letting their brand be represented by Survivor Pizza? How does that pizza rank in the Survivor Pizza rankings? And I've heard this done before. You know, the high watermark for like awful Survivor pizza. It's got to be the choke and cheese pizza where they were eating in the rain and it was that soggy, soggy mess. But this looked like it was,
look great.
It was overflowing and like they didn't take much care in the way it looked. And here's a bit of inside information for you. When Matt and I won the Hungry Jacks and we won two Hungry Jacks rewards as well as a bunch of other food rewards. When you're waiting to walk back in camp, there are people scurrying all over that you can't really see. You can just kind of see them coming in and out of camp. People that you never see at camp. So like whether it's the art department or something.
Also the actual challenge guys as well, the guys that put together the challenges.
Yeah, and they were like making it look absolutely perfect because I've covered this before when we talked about the chocolate in the bag from like week three or whatever it was, week four. the melted chocolate sack that you want the rewards have to be for the people at home. And like, you're supposed to take care of that. People from Hungry Jack's, I think, were actually out on the beach.
Yeah.
Making them look pretty. Yeah.
You have to. I mean, cause they're paying good money to get their product out there as well. And just, that's not going to sell pizza.
No.
Like, no one's going out to raise out the Pizza Hut to purchase one of those things. Did you actually see, while we're on the subject of pizza, Jeff Varner, he sold the top of his pizza box on eBay for like $700 and something.
No way.
I've got some Survivor stuff at home. I'm going to sell for a lot of money.
Like, oh, wow. $700.
For just the top of the pizza box, yeah.
Maybe because he was involved in such an iconic, also awful moment because he was holding it as he was walking out of tribal.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I wouldn't pay $700, but good on him. I hope it went to charity. That's good. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about. That was like when Barb wins the reward, and this is a real close but no cigarago to me because the reward was pizza, and he said, you know, you get to enjoy pizza. But he gave away and said how many people you're able to bring with you. And I found that interesting because I like the suspense of like, and you get to enjoy it with someone. Everyone assumes
pick one
that.
And then pick another
one. Yeah, and then it's like, can I pick another one? It's like, pick another. And then you really does reveal where you are in the order, because if you know you've got four people and you say, I'll bring, you know, Matt, Barb, blah, 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 then it's like, where was I? But when it's like, pick one person, it's like, I'll bring Matt, okay? Now, who's your second choice? I just think that's kind of, I think that's cool. So that's a real close but no cigarago.
Yeah, I don't know if that was just a slip of the tongue or if it was just that's how they were doing it.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
It was a bit strange.
Yeah, I think every chance you can to twist the knife a little bit, the show should be doing that. And it sucks when you're out there, but like little things like that can really reveal a lot. So, Matt, we've got a few other questions, but before we get to those, we will be talking a little bit about Australian Survivor and a few of the contestants. So stay tuned for that at the end of this podcast about some of the people, the names have been released. So I want to get your takes on those, but I've got a few other questions that were sent in. Nick Fishman says, Do you think that the Nate voting for Shannon is a big deal, a medium deal, or not an issue at all? Because, you know, he says that he was conflicted to vote for Sala, and then at the end he throws out this vote for Shannon.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I mean, it's a bit like what happened out with us, wasn't it, where we had people at times, I didn't want to write that person's name down, but
yeah.
You knew they were going home anyway. So, like, you were involved in it, you were part of it.
Yeah.
Just because you just wrote someone else's name down, it doesn't mean you weren't a part of it.
I think it's just such a half measure, and Someone else sent that in saying, you know, it's a half measure. Either you vote them out and you commit to your side, or you don't.
Yeah.
And in many ways, he is now, if I was Barb, I'd be peed off.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she knew. She may have known, and we're not edited. But you've committed to this thing now. Mm-hmm. Your one vote isn't going to make a difference.
Yeah.
You're not going. If you really wanted to make the difference, you would have voted for Jack.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep. Why vote for Shannon?
Yep.
And it's kind of what Coach did in Heroes Villains when Rob goes home and he knows that, you know, he could have, you know, been part of that, mm-hmm. to save him, and that's why he calls him a little man.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to, you know, have that on his hands. I just think that it's weak.
Yeah.
And, like, Shannon's working with you. What are you doing voting for Shannon?
It doesn't put you in a good position whatsoever. It's dumb.
Yeah, strange.
I don't know if it's going to make a huge change to where he is in the position, though.
Probably not.
But I think it's just a strange move.
It's just dumb, yeah. Nathan Bayless wants to know, should I go and punch a tree?
I wish I had the chance to pretend that I was getting voted off one time, because I could have been a pretty sad sort at that times. It would have been really good. Yeah, I think you definitely should go punch a tree. It's definitely. I think more trees need to be punched. I've said that from day one.
I'd like for one day in my Survivor career to not have to pretend that I'm, like, I could actually pretend that I'm going home instead of actually just going home every time I go to tribal council.
Sorry about that.
Last question. David Balthazar wants to know, how did you feel about the editors spelling out the blind side for the viewers, leaving no mystery whatsoever how the vote was going to go?
I think every time in Survivor New Zealand we've gone to tribal, I've had a pretty good idea on who's going home.
Yeah.
I haven't really been surprised yet. I don't know. I don't know if it's the editors are still getting used to the fact they have to kind of at times maybe blindside the people watching at home, and then other times not as well. Like, it's one of these really tricky things where, as a viewer, I see people complain a lot where they're like, well, why are the viewers being blindsided? We should know what's going on, and only the contestants get blindsided. But then we get angry when that's not the case. So, like,
yeah, good point.
I like a bit of a mix, maybe, but, like, maybe in the Survivor New Zealand, it's just a little bit too uneven in that quite often, like, for me, it's been telegraphed well beforehand.
Yeah. No, I felt like we saw that one coming, especially when we got that, like, the soaring confessional from, you know, Sala saying all that stuff. And it's just like, okay, well, you're going. And it's.
And we knew it on our season as well. Whenever you watched ads and stuff, you'd be like, well, we know who's going next episode.
Yes.
Like, and we even said it at the end of this episode of Survivor New Zealand. Oh, yeah, well, he is probably going next.
Yeah.
Like, just because if you just see this one or two bits from the next episode and you kind of get a bit of an idea what's happening.
So that leads me to Louise Johnson's question, the great Louise. She says, any hot takes on the AU season 2 players that have been dropped so far? So I want to get your thoughts, because this has come out. We've got Channel 10 has started ramping up the names, and it doesn't do it like American Survivor, dropping them all at once. It's mm-hmm. kind of been dropping them piecemeal, just like our names were dropped piecemeal last year. What do we got so far? So there's been a few people, and you can check them out. I'll post a link as well, but it's all over Facebook and stuff if you search Australian Survivor. What are your thoughts? We've got a few interesting characters. Who's standing out to you?
Yeah, we've got a few really good characters, I think, that are going to be coming out in this season. So a few that are probably piqued my interest. Amy, she's the plumber. I think she's from Melbourne. She looks a little bit of like the kind of typical Australian, what would you call it? Bogan's probably the word you'd use. And for Americans, that's kind of, it's not like a redneck, is it? It's like kind of like a,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't really know the translation.
Yeah.
Maybe like No, it's not white trash. That's
no, it's not even that either, because white trash is too far.
Yeah.
Like, Bogans is kind of like...
just someone who's just kind of like happy to kind of like a hard worker, but yeah, wants to just get drunk. And
yeah,
kind
real
of like,
true blue Aussie.
Yeah, like, speaks really rough and
kind drives of... drives a ute and like likes a drink and, you know, that sort of stuff. And she seems a bit like that. Like,
yeah, but I think that that's super interesting because she's this young, good-looking blonde girl and she's a plumber.
Yep.
I'm kind of interested in her, and I think that they know that that's a draw card.
So. Well, she looks a little like she, the way she's talking, it kind of sounds like her game is going to be like Phoebe-esque. So I feel like she's going to be a, like, super fans will love her as well, I think.
See, I get Phoebe vibes from the girl Sarah, and if you've ever watched The Face, which is, a reality show, I think there's been other versions around the world, but The Face, the Australian version, there was a girl on there called Sarah, and she's on Survivor this season. So it's interesting that they've got someone on there who's been on TV before.
On reality, yeah, and like, I haven't watched The Face, but I've heard that she was quite an interesting character on there and quite a good narrator as well, maybe.
Yeah, I'm keen for her.
She reminds me of Brooke, actually, in a way.
Right.
So those two, I think, out of the girls so far, are my two absolute standouts. They look great.
I'm really liking the idea of Joan, simply because her job is an escape room owner.
And we both love escape rooms.
I'm very interested. I wonder what the great Kurt Clark has to say about that, someone who's an escape room aficionado. So I think she's going to be interesting. But
yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if she takes the title of Puzzle King or Queen from the season. Hopefully not.
I think if anyone can do it, it's an escape room.
I think so too. Yeah, but I think she'll be interesting. And then there's Mark, who looks like maybe the new Dez. He's the lime farmer. Looks like a real Aussie larrikin kind of bloke. But maybe a little bit different to Dez, I think. Let's not paint him in the same brush he's an older Australian.
And then we've got a few big, beefy Australian, you know, like some big, muscly guys. And then we've got like another kind of like young, you know, I say schemey, but I have no idea why. Maybe just because he wears glasses. There's like a young guy that seems schemey. The poor guy, if I've got that read on him and everyone else does, we know what happens in Australian Survivor when people think you're schemey.
He looks like Fishback.
Yeah, like a little bit of a Fishback vibe. Early thoughts are these people are going to be interesting, and I'm really super, super keen to see how this all goes.
But there's the other one as well, which I think people will be happy about, because everyone was screaming out they had to cast an Asian last year, and they finally have. And Jared, who's the photographer from Perth.
There's definitely there was a lot of, and I don't know if people saw this if you're not from Australia, but there was a lot of call for more diversity, particularly the fact that Asian Australians weren't represented in Survivor Season 1. It seems like they have now kind of like thought about that, which is good. I'm super keen. And if there's more updates that the show releases, we will kind of talk about them on the podcast. But there will be no spoilers here. If you have spoilers, do not tweet them to me. I am not at all interested. I'm not spoiled. I will remain unspoiled because I absolutely hate them. So we're only going to be giving information that Network 10 gives out. So that's the stuff that's all we've got for you today. So we're nearly at the end, Matt. Two more things we need to do. The first thing is, you have a player of a week. Who are we giving the Danzy to?
That's tough. I mean, look, I'm going to give it to Barb just because I think I've really enjoyed watching her play this week and her actually get up and, as we've said before,
get up as in get out.
Actually get up. Like, she got out of bed, which was great. We all learned some tips about how to sleep with the tea bags, which I think is a great little tidbit. But yeah, no, look, I think she was a bit of fun. It was good to see her strategic mind and, you know, she's kind of playing a game that I think a lot of us would have loved to maybe have taken out, like, to Australia, where we had such a long season, and she's done it well successfully, which I think is pretty tough to do. I'm going to give it to her this week, I think.
I agree. I'm impressed, Barb. Well done. Good on you for having the chutzpah to, like, actually go through the move, and especially with, you know, there's still quite a few people left, and I think it's great.
When sitting around doing nothing for so, like, it sounds really bad, but sitting around not making these big moves for such a long amount of time,
no,
and then to trust yourself to actually go out and do it and actually do it as well, it's not easy. So, yeah, she has to win it, I think.
Excellent. Do we have a hashtag for this podcast that people can tell you that they made it to the end, because we've had some great hashtags this season.
We've got a few, don't we? I mean, there's like pineapple pizza, which I think could be a good one. Like tree puncher could also be quite a good one as well, I think.
I do like tree puncher.
Tree puncher's not bad.
What about hashtag green hat?
Green hat. Green hat's good.
Green hat?
Yeah.
Let's go with green hat.
Green hat.
I like it. I like it. Well, Matteo, thank you so much for coming and speaking to us tonight.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been great. Matt and I hang out all the time, and it's good to actually kind of sit here and digest Survivor properly, and like not, you know, just talk about random things, but actually focus that conversation on Survivor. So thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media? You're all about interacting with fans.
I'm everywhere. Matt Tarrant on Facebook. Twitter is also at Matt Tarrant, TARRANT, and on Instagram, Matt Tarrant AU. And a little bit of a competition, if you guys can count the number of times I've worn a black hat on social media as well, I'll give you a bit of a prize. So
I like that. That's very good. And you're a bit of a, do you lurk around on Reddit a little bit?
I'm on Reddit a little bit, yeah. Probably too much. You always tell me off because I always post things that I shouldn't post. So I quite often go through my Reddit posts and delete like silly comments that I shouldn't have made.
After I've warned him that he shouldn't have been blabbing so much stuff on Reddit.
I love blabbing sometimes. I don't post spoilers, but I definitely post things that production probably wouldn't be happy about.
Next time any of you see Matt post on Reddit, whether it's the Australian Survivor Reddit or the Survivor Reddit, and he says something, can you all just kind of like flame him and say, Nick would not approve of this post because he says so many random things. Okay, do that for me. Do that for me,
and
please.
And I post so much, like I know everything as well. Like I'm in the know of like the whole production. Like
I know anyone would, like he says these things, anyone would think that like Matt is the executive producer. Like he's got a direct line straight to Jeff. Like Matt knows nothing. Like he just kind of like dresses his words up a little bit. That makes it seem like he's in the know.
People believe it.
And people believe your stupidity, but no more. No more. So please, everyone tell him that his things on Reddit are complete malarkey. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming in. And everyone, hashtag green hat. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Nick Idanza. And let us know what you thought of the episode. I would love to hear your thoughts. Please send in your questions. Next week, I can reveal we have the Kaftan Queen herself, Kat from Survivor AU's coming in to break down everything about Survivor New Zealand. She's been an avid watcher this season. I cannot wait to hear her takes. She's going to have lots of great stuff. Send her your questions. Send me your questions. And yeah, we will digest everything. And hopefully we might even know a little bit more about Survivor AU. So thank you very much, Matt, for coming in. And thanks guys for tuning in for another week. Catch you later.
See ya.